From the City of Angels, near the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world, I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM, and welcome to our special five-hour live election night coverage, open lines in the last hour. Here's what's happening. Whoa, what an election night. This is as exciting as watching a Super Bowl game, folks. It is really close, as we have predicted, but Donald Trump is inching his way toward becoming the president-elect. He is getting really close in getting the 270 electoral votes that he needs. Scott Pringle is with the Trump campaign at the New York Hilton. They're not celebrating yet, but they're getting pretty darn close. Scott, what's the mood out there?
Yeah, George, well, I feel like this is like the calm before the storm here. Lots of supporters pumped up a little earlier. It seems to be a little calmer now. They're just kind of waiting for one more, what appears to be one more state here going toward Trump's way before they just break out in sheer celebration. A lot of people are just in shock, actually, believe it or not. One guy says he feels the chills, and he just can't believe that he thinks Donald Trump will be the next president for sure. Like I said, one more state. Maybe it's Arizona. Maybe it's Michigan. Those are very close right now. But Rudy Giuliani, he spoke earlier, a big-time Trump supporter, the former New York City mayor, George, and he says this is basically the people revolting against the Washington establishment that he says does not seem to get anything done. And Giuliani pointed to the president, he pointed to Hillary Clinton, and he also pointed his finger at Congress.
All right, Scott, thank you. Thanks for the action out there at the Trump campaign at the New York Hilton. As I've said all along, it's going to be a very, very close race. Ethan Harp is with the Clinton campaign at the Javits Center in New York. Well, the mood has got to be a little somber there, Ethan, isn't it?
You could get whiplash from the mood swing, George. I'll tell you, I've talked to about a dozen voters in the last half hour here inside the hall. I'm staring at the podium where Secretary Clinton would come out and speak, if she comes out and speaks tonight. 90%, roughly, of the voters I've talked to, many of them women, are depressed. They are resigned to the idea that Hillary Clinton is not going to win. It's a stunning turn of events. People here are using words like heartbroken. They're using words like bleak. They're wondering what's going to happen to the Supreme Court. Some are trying to talk of unity as a nation. They're already trying to think ahead, but others are just bewildered. They don't know where things are going to go. There are still several thousand people here inside this convention hall at the Javits Center in New York City. They're waiting for something, but victory might not be it anymore.
All right. Thank you, Ethan. Ethan Harp and Scott Pringle, of course, are our iHeart reporters covering the campaign as they have been doing since the primaries. What an amazing turnabout. Just an amazing turnabout. And throughout the night, we'll be having some special analysis with guests talking about what went right and what went wrong for the candidates. Craig Hewlett, of course, has been a speechwriter and special assistant for the late Congressman Jack Metcalf, and Craig has been with us since the beginning of this campaign as well. Craig, any surprises here for you?
No, I guess not surprises, really. It doesn't really make any difference in my view. As far as my work goes, my work is geopolitical. It's foreign affairs, and I'm not sure who actually is in the White House is going to make that big of a difference, given everything else that I understand. I have to say, I do hope Donald Trump does win, not because I like Donald Trump or that I think he'll do any of the things he says he'll do, but because I think he will be more apt to appoint a couple of Supreme Court justices that might actually consider protecting things like the Second Amendment.
Mm-hmm. Which is important. Craig, we'll keep talking to you out throughout this incredible moment. Craig Hewlett, our special guest on Coast to Coast. He has devoted his time and energy to giving us just incredible stories about the campaign and his insight. Our special coverage continues in a moment with John Curtis and Howard Bloom as we look at election 2016. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Donald Trump is not there yet, but he's getting very close to 270 electoral votes, which would make him, of course, the president-elect. Dick Morse, back with us, author of Armageddon, political consultant. Dick, I got to believe Donald read your book, Armageddon, because he has pulled off what could be a minor miracle. What do you think?
Yeah, he has. And I'm so delighted that in our book, Armageddon, How Trump Can Beat Hillary, we sketch out everything that he did, win the blue-collar white vote, win the Bernie Sanders vote or a large portion of it, and he really put it, and divide the black community so it's not solid for Hillary.
Dick, you worked with the Clintons. They have got to be in shock right now. What do you think?
I'm sure they're in fury and in shock and depressed. And they don't get depressed, they get mad, so they'll be yelling at everybody. I think Trump is clearly going to win this election. We should start with that. He's going to win Pennsylvania any minute now, and he'll win Michigan any minute now, and either one is enough for him to win. And he'll win Arizona, that is 11 votes, and he'll win Alaska, that's 3. So he's going to definitely be the president. And I think that this is such a enormous change in this country. It's a repudiation of the entire establishment of both political parties, and it's the embrace of a fundamental mandate of change. You just need to look at Ohio. Obama carried it by 2 points, and Trump has carried it by 11,
yeah.
A 13-point swing in 4 years. Just enormous, and I think it's based on a belief that Trump will shake everything up, change it dramatically, and that's exactly what people want.
Dick, you've got lots going on tonight, but I want to thank you for spending some time here with us, and best to you, my friend.
Good. Thank you.
Dick Morse, author of the book Armageddon. Dr. John Curtis, of course, has been with us since the beginning of this incredible campaign as well. And John, I want to just get your reaction to what is about to become something extremely historical.
Well, I think, remember I've talked about Nigel Farage saying that the polling was incorrect, it was exaggerated on the liberal basis, it was not accurate, and that Trump was going to Brexit basically this election, and that's exactly what happened. And I think when you look at the big picture of really, when you ask yourself, well, what is this? There's two things here, and I think Dick Morris just hit on it. There's a complete disgust on the part of voters, ordinary voters, not really aligned, the Reagan Democrats, the independent voters, we talked about them, with the breakdown in Washington, a fundamental breakdown. The government doesn't get anything done. It's complete paralysis. And the second thing, George, which is equally important, there's a breakdown in the U.S. media, the First Amendment media, that basically is so left-wing biased, has been so disgraceful in their collusion with the Hillary campaign. And we've heard, with these WikiLeaks revelations. But and I mentioned this, about how when Dan Rather was caught colluding with the Kerry campaign, he was fired. But an entire network like CNN and CNBC and NBC and CBS, when they're colluding with the Hillary campaign, nothing happens. But this is a rebellion of immense proportions, and it's against the U.S. media. And they have some work to do, major work, to reinstate any kind of credibility. Because if you're listening to them right now, George, and I've been listening to the liberal media analyze the effects, and Dick is 100% right. Trump has won this election. The media is doing their typical, we're not going to call this until they milk enough advertising out of this. He's won Pennsylvania. He's won Wisconsin. It doesn't matter what happens with Michigan. He's won the election. But that's really what this election is about, is people disgusted with the way Washington has behaved. And, Trump has run against his own party in this race. The Republican Party.
Oh, there's no doubt about that.
The Republican Party has been as bad of an enemy for Trump in this campaign as Hillary Clinton, maybe even worse.
This is going to be interesting to see how they kiss up to him. Now, hold on, John. You're going to be with me for the entire hour along with Howard Bloom. I want to bring in Howard now. Howard Bloom, of course, has been with us since the beginning of this primary campaign as well. And, of course, he is a supporter of Hillary Clinton. Howard, this is an upset. I believe it's an upset.
It is an upset. It is a shock. There's still a tiny little prayer for Hillary, but it's very tiny. Donald Trump is still 16 points away, or 16 electoral college voters away. But it really is a dismal day if you're on the Democratic side of things. It's a bad night for health care, because under Republican presidents, health care has always skyrocketed as a percentage of GDP, tremendously, outrageously. And that, in all probability, will happen again, because when Donald Trump says to repeal and replace, his only idea for replacement is to allow insurance companies to sell insurance across state lines, which they already do. It's a bad night for the Supreme Court if you believe in female choice. Most important, it is a bad night for democracy in the following sense. Donald Trump represents the criminalization of dissent. In America, John, Curtis, and I are allowed to dissent and express different points of view.
Mm-hmm.
We don't try to punish each other or lock each other up in jail when we're finished with our conversation. But what Donald Trump has told us is that he will lock Hillary Clinton up if he's elected, and he's 16 points away from being elected. That is bad for democracy. He's also told us that he wants to pass libel laws that allow rich people like him to sue absolutely anybody who says anything critical about them. He has used that kind of power to stifle dissent in private life against himself. If he's in the government, and he's about to be, this says very sorry things for freedom of speech. It is a day of victory for the Russians. Donald Trump has been crying foul and saying that this election is rigged. Yes, it is rigged. Yes, there is a thumb on the scales. It is a very big thumb on the scales. How many leaked emails have there been from the Trump campaign? If we were to see them, they would shock us. But there has been email leak after email leak after email leak against just one side, the Democratic side, and these have, according to 16 different security agencies, these have come from the Russians through a guy who's very open about hating America, Julian Assange. This is the first time in American history that foreigners have been able to manipulate our democracy.
Well, this is going to be close. I'm not going to say officially Donald has won yet until a couple states come in, but he's knocking at the door. So Dr. John Curtis and Howard Bloom, you two have been on the program simultaneously for months now. I want you both to take a few minutes and kind of chat with each other. John, Howard?
Well, John, it's a pleasure to meet you. I've been listening very carefully. Of course, we disagree about just about everything in sight. But remember, when you're talking about the shame of the mainstream media, there is a right-wing media. It has been around for a long time. It is financed primarily by Rupert Murdoch. It includes Fox News, which is the most successful cable channel on the air, nonfiction. It includes Breitbart. It includes the New York Post. It includes the Daily Caller, and it includes the Wall Street Journal. So there is a healthy balance of opinions on either side in America. Anybody who doesn't like what's in the New York Times and the Washington Post can happily go to the Wall Street Journal, Fox News, and the New York Post and get the information that he likes, not to mention the Washington Times, the Daily Caller, and a whole bunch of others. So, but it's extraordinarily important, John, not to criminalize the other point of view, not to wear T-shirts, not to cry at rallies, lock her up, not to chant at rallies, hang her, not to go after your political opponents in court. And that's something that Donald Trump has been doing for a long time. He's going to have a much, much bigger stick now. And I fear for the safety of this democracy.
John?
Yeah, well, of course, you know, I don't know where to begin with all of that. But what I do know is that when you have a presidential candidate like Hillary that is under you know, investigation by the FBI, and even if it's true that Comey said he couldn't find any further intent behind it enough to charge her, we know that there's been, you know, the kind of activity that's gone on that has really turned off a lot of voters. I mean, I don't know too many people that want a person that is that unscrupulous to take debate questions in advance by operatives at CNN, whether it was Donna Brazile or some other producer there, and cheat her way through the debates, how that could not affect voters. And as far as democracy goes, Trump is about the most liberal Republican anybody could ever remember. If you really want to know about his politics, just look at how he's hated by his own party. They despise him because he's very moderate, more of a Democrat than he is a Republican. So the idea that somehow he's going to eviscerate our democracy, that he's going to implement some version of that a martial law, that he's, you know, in bed with the Russians. I mean, for 60 years, there's been, you know, eight generations of U.S. presidents that have done their utmost to have a relationship, a better relationship with a nuclear-armed Russia since World War II, the end of World War II. Under Obama, the relationship with Russia has deteriorated to the point that the German foreign minister, Frank-Walter Steinmeier, said that he's desperately afraid that the U.S. is on a collision course for World War III. Now, Hillary has taken millions and millions of dollars from the Saudi Arabians and the Gulf states. That's very well documented. She can't deny that out of the Clinton Foundation. And when you have a Secretary of State who backs a proxy war in Syria, and this is after destabilizing Libya, destabilizing Egypt, and now is wants to make the same mistake in Syria by backing terrorists, essentially, to topple Bashar Assad, and then any talk by Trump during the campaign of developing a better relationship with Russia is like demonized by the left, basically, by the Hillary campaign, as somehow he's in bed with the Russians. Well, what about the eight generations of presidents that have worked feverishly up until Obama to have a solid relationship like Reagan did with whoever the leader is of Russia?
Gorbachev.
I agree with you about Saudi Arabia.
So we don't wind up going into no-fly zones in Syria, which would potentially, you heard John McCain, who Hillary would probably have appointed as Secretary of Defense, who would set up a no-fly zone in Syria, and McCain urged Obama on October 12th to shoot down Russian warplanes. Now, what would that do to the stock market? What would that do to the potential for having World War III? And Hillary was right on that page backing those no-fly zones, even though Obama had at least the sense to stay away from that in Syria. So I think that, you know, the left, you know, and honestly, I'm not really reflecting the Trump position or any position. If you read my website, I write politically neutral commentary more than anyone in the country, 30 articles a month that are trying to get to the heart, the essence of news stories, not from the left, not from the right, but just from the facts. And that's why I think that the American people in deciding, and somebody called me recently and said, you know, one thing about the outcome of this election is that I have a deeper faith in the wisdom of the electorate not to put somebody in there who potentially could get us into World War III or maybe a nuclear confrontation with Russia.
Howard, your turn to react.
I agree. Look, the Office of the Secretary of Defense threw a forum based on one of my books in 2010 and brought in people from the State Department, the Energy Department, DARPA, IBM, and MIT. 4 years ago, George has already heard this, but 4 years ago, I went to a connection at the White House and said, look, we have to back Bashar Assad. We cannot take the Saudi side in this proxy war between Iran and Syria that is paraded to us as a civil war. It is not a civil war in Syria. It is a proxy war between Iran and Saudi Arabia. And if we take this position, in other words, if we lead the world in backing Bashar Assad, we can get the Russians behind us, the Chinese behind us, and even the Iranians, who I loathe, but I appear on their television stations, we can get them behind us. That advice was not listened to, and it's essentially the same advice that you're giving now. So we agree about that. And in fact, I disagree with the candidate that I support on several things. But the fact is, no one is claiming that Trump is in bed with the Russians. What people are claiming is that Trump has too much adulation for a bully even bigger than he is. And even though Vladimir Putin is approximately almost 5 inches shorter than he is, the fact is that that Trump responds to Putin as one bully to a bigger and even bigger bully, and he wants to go over and brown nose with Vladimir Putin. What's wrong with that? Ever since 2014, when Steve Forbes put Vladimir Putin on the cover as the most powerful man in the world, the Putin example, the Putin iconic role model of leadership, has been taking off around the world, and we've seen it with Recep Tayyip Erdogan, the head, the president of Turkey, who's put 60,000 political opponents.
Hold on for a second, Howard. We're going to hit the break. We'll be back with Dr. John Curtis and Howard Bloom. They are with us for another 30 minutes. Plus, we'll open up the phone lines for you to ask them a question. We will be live for 5 hours tonight on our special election coverage. Donald Trump getting very close to 270 electoral votes. I do believe it would be a miracle if Hillary were to win. It's that favorable for Donald Trump. Well, welcome back to our continuing coverage of election 2016. We're still waiting for some final votes to come in, but Donald Trump is ahead, 254 electoral votes to Hillary Clinton's 218. You need 270 to win. There are several states still out there unaccounted for that are leaning toward Donald Trump that would push him over the 270 mark. We're going to come back and take your calls in a moment with Dr. John Curtis and Howard Bloom as well. And let me take a minute to say a lot of people are listening to us via the Coast Insider way, and it's a fun way to do it. We had our chat with Coast Insiders tonight. It's 15 cents a day, folks. Sign up by going to coasttocoastam.com. And welcome back to our continuing coverage of election 2016 as we're continuing to monitor the various states that are left. But right now, Donald Trump has 254 electoral votes, Hillary Clinton 218. You need 270, but we're waiting for final results from Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania. Several of the other states, Arizona, will probably go to Donald, have gone to Donald Trump based on some predictions. CNN is a little slower than Fox News tonight for projections, but they're both coming in pretty accurate and the same. We have Dr. John Curtis with us, Howard Bloom. And Howard, before we go to phone calls with you and John, you are an expert on the human mind. You wrote a book called The Global Brain. What are we going to do to heal this country when 50% of the people can't stand whoever is going to finally be elected here as president?
That is the best question of all. We have to end this business of Republican inquisitions. Why am I blaming it on one party? Because for 24 years, there has been a kill the Clintons industry. And roughly $500 million have been invested in it, in creating one scandal after another that doesn't exist. Politics is about finding your common points and building on them. It is not about Mitch McConnell announcing that for the next 8 years, he will make sure the Congress and the Senate do absolutely nothing because he wants to discredit a Democratic president. We have to work across boundaries. We have to begin looking for our points of common interest again. I mean, John and I are on opposite sides of the page, but we agree about something like Syria, for example. We can find points of common interest, and that is what we have to do in the Senate and the Congress, but it will be very hard with Donald Trump as president because he finds his differences and attacks those who disagree with him.
John Curtis, how are we going to heal this nation?
Well, we're going to be a divided nation, but I think Trump, you know, has the, you know, the gift of being able to communicate, you know, kind of like Reagan in a way, very different type. I think you'll see a far more presidential, approachable, more even-keeled Trump now that, you know, he's won this. And I realize that, you know, we don't want to call the election with 98 or 99% of the vote in Pennsylvania and the lead insurmountable, but, you know, that puts them over the top.
I don't know what's taking them so long.
Well, what's taking them so long is that they're doing the proverbial network thing, which is really milk it for everything you can get, keep people there selling advertising. But I just want to say, with respect to the economy, George, the U.S. has been in a flat line now for going on, you know, the gross domestic product is, you know, running basically the Federal Reserve running close to 0%. Maybe this last report in the third quarter, they say, is going to be revised downward. We're in kind of a pattern like Japan has been in for the last 25 years. And you cannot have this zero GDP growth in the United States with what looks like a low unemployment rate, but in reality, we're creating part-time jobs for people, and people working two, three jobs harder for less money than they ever have been before. It just can't go on anymore. So Trump's message, economic message, remember somebody once said, it's the economy, stupid. And I think that Trump's message of stopping the hemorrhage of jobs out of the country, repatriating money into the country, ramping up the manufacturing sector, being able to renegotiate trade policies that the U.S. has been killed on for years, and cutting corporate tax rates for small businesses, large businesses, to provide some kind of a fiscal stimulus, because the fiscal policy has been horrific. We've had a monetary policy at the Fed where they've done everything, slashing interest rates to practically zero. They've had quantitative easing, three rounds of it, and all it's done is kept the economy flat. You've got economists like Mohamed El-Erian who are essentially saying, look, you can't stay in this flat zone indefinitely without serious damage to the stock market. This stock market takes a major drop right now, given how sluggish GDP growth is, and we could be right back into a very stubborn recession where layoffs start happening again. So I think Trump's economic message, which is common sense, of cutting taxes, reducing regulation on unnecessary job-killing regulations, and trying to provide some kind of fiscal stimulus, is the only way out of this.
All right, let's take some calls.
It's ridiculous.
Let's take some calls here for you, both of you, okay?
Okay.
They're lining up. Let's go to Colby in North Carolina, first-time caller. Colby, go ahead.
Hey, good evening, gentlemen.
Hi there.
How are you guys doing tonight?
Good. Interesting night, isn't it?
It is. It's very interesting. I spent most of it at the gym trying to keep my mind occupied.
Good. But, smart man.
My comment question is, I'm coming from sort of a background with myself as far as this last year being sort of changing for me. You know, I sort of turned my life around from a bad addiction problem, and I'm now healthy and
well,
doing
good
a
for
lot
you.
Better. And I'm sort of thinking of the country, like maybe the country has to hit bottom before we can come up with a new system other than the two-party system that seems to be dividing us. You know, maybe some kind of, you know, new low has to happen for us to get real change.
Howard, what do you think of that?
Oh, God, that scares me to death, Colby. That's a one-party system. It's called a dictatorship. It would certainly make Donald Trump very happy. But the fact is, what John has just said, that this economy is miserable. In fact, this country is in the same position that you are in. It is getting better. We had a serious problem, the Great Recession of 2008. We've recovered from that depression at the fastest rate we've recovered from any recent depression. The Great or the Depression of 1873 lasted 6 years. The Depression of 1929 lasted 10 years. We started coming out of this depression after less than 3 years. We have had the fastest rate of economic growth in the Western world over the course of the last 6 years. Ronald Reagan, who produced miracles, added 10 million jobs to the American economy. The current regime, Obama, has added 14 million jobs, and the Clinton machine added 23 million jobs. Every time we've tried what John has just recommended, which is decreasing taxes, we've created one of these grand depressions. That's what caused the Great Depression of 2008. We can't afford that kind of policy again, and we can't afford the $20 trillion imbalance, the $20 trillion debt that the economists say that policy would create. We need to do what you are doing, and we are doing it. We are back on our feet. We are rising, and we need to see that we're rising and continue it.
Next up, we go to Michael in Virginia Beach, Virginia, east of the Rockies, of course. Hi, Michael.
Thank you, George, for a great debate. If we had had throughout this campaign...
I'm losing you on the phone, Michael, again.
Oh, can you hear me now?
Yes, I can. There you go.
Okay. George, thank you for the debate. If we had had this kind of debate throughout the campaign season on the one network that brings the truth bravely to the public, we would have a very different election tonight. We wouldn't have either of these two candidates standing off against each other. I hope you will reconsider your policy on political debate, because you have beat all of the media in America tonight. Now, the issue is this. Mr. Trump, he is backed by the Chinese. He is backed by the Japanese that he has been criticizing for the last two decades. They have bailed him out every time he has gone into bankruptcy and not one media organization has exposed this man's finances. So, we know this is a hoax. We know this is a capitalist, globalist conspiracy to put us under a final dictatorship. So, the question is, where will Coast to Coast go from this point on in dealing with this conspiracy? My question goes to both your guests tonight.
All right. Well, Dr. John Curtis, you've looked at the media. You've looked at how they've handled these things. What do you think?
Yeah, well, I don't take the same view as as a listener about there being this vast conspiracy. But this was a bitterly contested election by anybody's stretch. I think probably one of the most rancorous elections in U.S. history. And the primaries were the same way. I mean, it really divided the Republican Party, and now Trump is, on the threshold of becoming the next president. And I think that people who are on the left, which I'm not on, and I'm not on the right either. I'm on the bird's eye view of kind of analyzing these things and what's good for the country. And when Reagan administered 10% across the board tax cuts, the economy did boom. During his time, during the Clinton years, if you really look at it, the stock market was in a bubble. And I don't know if you remember what Alan Greenspan said. He said it was irrational exuberance. He even wrote a book to that effect, that the stock market actually crashed in Bill Clinton's final year in office. And it was the worst drain of jobs and wealth in U.S. history up until the Great Recession of 2008. Where the market melted down again, which was 8 years later. But I don't think that that people really should be jumping the gun and jumping to conclusions right now about how Trump's a fascist and he's in bed with the Russians and all of the talking points that have been given by the Clinton campaign, which have done very successfully and brainwashed people to believe this. He's a person that has a billion-dollar real estate development business. He's decided to step away from his own, kind of self-absorbed lifestyle in order to lend whatever expertise he has as a businessman to trying to fix this sad U.S. economy that is in a very slow growth period and has been. I mean, yes, they've added jobs. But the jobs they've added are largely part-time and without benefits. And this Obamacare has created one of the largest unanticipated black holes in this economy that is going to cost the taxpayers billions and billions of dollars next year. That's going to inflate today's budget deficit, which has risen over the last year at about $600 or $650 billion, and by next year, with the subsidies that Obamacare is providing, as you know, George, it's going to double that deficit, and we'll be right back to the $1.4 trillion deficit. The problem with the economy going forward is that they're going to have to deal with this $20 trillion debt problem and these rising budget deficits. And I think it's 100% right to repeal and replace Obamacare and end these government subsidies, except for people that are at the low end of the socioeconomic scale that need to go on what is the equivalent of Medicaid, basically, in order to get health care. So I think there's many things that Trump is proposing that I think could be potentially very constructive. And if you really think about it, what was Hillary Clinton, had she won this election, going to do with a Republican House and a Republican Senate, now that we know that would fight her tooth and nail for her 4 years, far worse than they ever fought Obama? And Obama got virtually nothing done other than Obamacare, which, as you know, was railroaded without one Republican vote. So I think there's an opportunity here with a Republican Senate and a Republican House for Trump to really begin to fashion some legislation that's going to help the economy. He wants to do something in the inner cities.
Yep. And help people. It's about time.
That's what he's been proposing to do.
Yeah, well, I doubt that any of it would help anybody, because the fact is that we had our highest family income in 1999 under Bill Clinton. We just began to turn the corner and increase family income again over the last two economic periods. We're on a positive track economically. People, when you talk about helping people, we got to help people go to college, for God's sakes. We got to help them get an education. The people who are supporting Donald Trump are undereducated, and they're not undereducated because they haven't been offered an education. They're undereducated because they haven't seen the value of an education, and they've been cut up, so they've dropped out of high school when high school is free. We need to motivate those people by whatever means to train themselves. We no longer live in a world where industries can hire ignorant people. We need to hire people who are well trained and who can compete with the Chinese, who for 5,000 years have treasured the value of an education, have valued extremely high work or high amounts of work hours. We need to outcompete them. And to do that, we have to be able to put people from college without keeping them with debt of $150,000 to $250,000.
Let's go to Patricia in New Orleans now. Patricia, welcome to the program. Go ahead.
Hi, George. How you doing?
Hi. I'm fine. It's an interesting evening, isn't it?
Oh, it's wild. It's just incredible. Tommy and I were talking about that. We were just going, oh, my God, oh, my God. I'm a first-time caller, but I'm a Coast Insider.
Well, thank you.
And you're very welcome, and thank you very much for everything you do. I am completely and totally in love with you. But the reason I called is because, you know, I think people were just so fed up that that anybody that had been in Washington for any time that had run on the Democratic ticket, I don't think they would have stood a chance. People are just tired and fed up. But with that said, you know, this weekend and Monday and Tuesday, Marketplace enrollees received their 2017 premium increase packets.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, from the Marketplace. My husband makes $12.50 an hour. I am severely disabled with three autoimmune diseases, wow, and I'm a two-time breast cancer survivor. I'm also a very blessed person.
You're a fighter.
Yes, I am. Absolutely. I'm tenacious. And I tell you what, we got this in the mail, and his premium is going up $300 a month.
I know. That's well, look, that's going to change, Patricia. Assuming a Trump administration, he will do something with Obamacare, and he will do something with some of the high costs. I mean, if he could just slow down his rhetoric and not be so argumentative with people, I think he could do a pretty good job. John Curtis, what do you think?
Oh, I can't agree more with you, George. I think, you know, once this thing is, you know, once this race is finally over, and it's getting pretty close right now.
Oh, it's very close.
The fat lady is starting to sing, like they can't hear her yet on CNN, but it's coming. And I just think that, you know, if you have a marketplace where you have interstate competition, you're going to see premiums lower. You're going to, once again, not have these massive increases with Obamacare. And as I told you, the unfunded liability of Obamacare is going to break the U.S. economy in 2017.
It's huge. John and Howard, I want to thank both of you for putting in the effort and the time during the course of this election campaign. It's been monumental. John Curtis, thank you, first of all. And Howard Bloom, thank you as well.
Thank you for having us, George. It's been a pleasure. And John has been an interesting and very, very knowledgeable combatant.
I am sure that in the future you'll both be on as we talk about things with the new administration next year, which is right around the corner. I'm going to come back in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM with Dr. Jerome Corsi. He will be with us for a couple hours. We will still have phone calls in the second hour with Jerry, and then open lines the last hour. And John Hogue is going to be with us, the expert on Nostradamus. John has predicted the election 12 times in a row and predicted a Hillary campaign. Look, it's not over yet, but it's really close that Donald Trump will become the president-elect. And I want to get John's reaction, too. So we've got lots going on tonight on Coast to Coast. 4 more hours of live programming, and we'll be right back.